There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
B-Pod Studios.
I because you know why? Because I think they're going to be winning a lot of games. I think this is going to, they're going to win a lot of regular season. Yeah. Okay, but just so you know, Adam, for the record, if I got to remind you, I along with Christian Arcand and some other, I forget who else, I think Matt McCarthy, I predicted a 7-9 season last year. The roster. I did.
Oh, nice.
The roster was terrible. It was an awful roster. The roster is so much better than it was last year. And you know what? I look at this team, I go, the beginning part of this schedule, is, I think, is easy, other than week four. Yeah. It's a pretty easy schedule. And so they're going to win games because they're going to have, I think they're going to have a top 10 defense. Do you think they'll have if Stephon Gilmore's here?
I was just going to say, okay, Gilmore better be a part of it.
Say he's here and it's a top 10, maybe top 5 defense. Let's just say top 10 to be safe. This team is going to be probably a top 3 team in rushing attempts per game and probably be one of the best rushing teams in the league. You can win a lot of regular season games,
Ted,
with those two things. I think you can win in the playoffs.
They ran well last year. I think they were top 10 in points against last year. I saw the graphic last night on TV. I think they were 7th
totally
in points
different.
Against.
It's going to be a much better, much
but I'm just,
better
But I'm just
team.
Saying, by some metrics, they were a top 10 defense last year. They ran it well last
okay,
year.
Okay, you're right. Points
7-9.
They were seven. I get it. I get what you're saying. But to me, Cam Newton, he just has to play a little bit better than he did last year. Mm. Okay.
Did he look any different last night?
No, he did. No, I hear you say it. No, he did not. But trust me, you can win this team with the roster right now, particularly with the schedule as soft as it is at the beginning of the season. This team can win, I think, in regular season, 11 games. People think I'm crazy. 11 games.
I don't think that's crazy.
Not ridiculous.
And running the football, Cam Newton, all he's got to do is just not screw it up. And I think if he's not screwing it up and they're winning a lot of games, when are you going to pull Cam Newton?
Well, Jones, they can hide a lot of Cam's deficiencies.
No, they can't.
Point, these
no,
first,
they can't.
No, these first, look at the schedule. It's right there.
Yeah.
They outside of Tampa.
Dolphins, Jets, Saints, Tampa.
They're 3-1 after 4 weeks.
Maybe.
They're 3-1.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think they are.
All right. I don't think they can hold his flaws or hide his flaws. Rather, they couldn't do it last year. I don't know that you can do that this year. So look, I don't think 10 or 11 wins is crazy. It needs to be with Mac Jones. The worst case scenario to me this year, they win like 9 or 10 games. They sneak into the playoffs. Cam's the quarterback. I know everybody's like, wow, that'd be a great year. No. That would be the worst case scenario. Cam's the quarterback all year. They win 9-10 games. They get their asses blown out in the wild card. You get no development out of Mac Jones. And like, now it's like, is Cam back next year? We're going through the whole stupid thing all over again. That would be the worst case scenario if that's what happens. That'd be horrible. That'd be horrible. At least if you win 7 games this year, but Mac Jones is your starter all year. Mm-hmm. If Mac Jones looks good, you know, maybe then you're the Chargers. You're a team that has something, some movement going forward, some momentum going forward.
If Mac Jones is going to be a starter week one, he has to do what, in your opinion?
I think he's already done it.
So he's already done it?
Yes, to me, okay. Yes. I felt that way before I even saw him last night. Last night validated what I already thought. So it's a more important question for you. For Mac Jones to win the job, what does he need to do for you?
He's got to win his team over. You go, okay, he's got to not screw it up, but he's got to play, you know, good enough to deserve the starting job. He's got to win his team over. That's it. He's got to get guys that believe in him, that will rally around him. Because Cam, believe it or not, as crazy as it sounds to us, when you see him play, he still has the support of his team right now. And Mac needs to win his team over. Bill's not going to put a guy out there that nobody believes in. That's the key thing about who's the starting quarterback is not only can they execute the offense, is do guys rally around him and will they play for him?
But Ted, my question to that though is, doesn't Cam have to win over Bill first, then the team will respond to that?
He's already won, Bill. Are you kidding me?
I mean, not Cam. I'm sorry, Mac Jones. Mac Jones has to win the coach over first, then the players, right?
No, it's. I'm telling you, you win Bill over when you win your team over. Bill's watching. How do guys respond to Mac? Is he confident? Do guys get excited? Does he raise the play? Does he have command of everything, or is he coward? Does he shy away from big moments? Does he not really connect with the teammates? Bill's monitoring all that, so he's watching every single day. That's all he cares about.
So do you agree with Ted Johnson, a three-time Super Bowl champion, or do you agree with Adam Jones, somebody who really admittedly doesn't know what he's talking about? 617-779-0985. What does Mac Jones have to do to win that job over? I felt going into last night, he had won the job. He's been the better guy on the training camp field. He's been better by all accounts. Even if they're dead even, and I know it's so difficult to say they're going to finish dead even. But in that scenario, the tie goes to who, Ted?
The tie goes to Cam Newton. I'll put it to you this way, and I think Jim Murray said it yesterday, and it's exactly right. This is, you can't start with with Mac Jones and then go to Cam. You have to start with Cam.
Okay, well then cut him. I'd go with Mac Jones and cut Cam. That's what I would do.
Okay.
But to me,
I just think Bill is so worried about guys, what they think. If Bill builds up Cam Newton and then cuts him right before the season, you know what guys are going to be saying? A lot of things what guys were saying when he cut Lawyer Malloy. When he's made these decisions, we're like, damn, Bill's not messing around. And in a team that is so new, and he's relying on all these new guys that he's brought in free agency to kind of be leaders of this team, he's trying to win them over. And if he does dirty to Cam, it could create issues in the locker room.
I don't disagree with that. I don't think he's doing him dirty. I don't know how anyone can make the case that Bill is doing Cam Newton dirty. He brought him in last year. He started him every week. He brought him back. He gave him a chance. And the kid's better.
You're not going to start a guy in all these practices and put him out there, say Cam's the starter, and then cut him before week one. You know what that would look like in that locker room? Guys would be like, "That Bill, whatever he says doesn't mean a damn thing. You can't trust Bill."
Well, then he should start starting Mac Jones beginning Monday or Tuesday or whenever joint practices start.
Dan Lifschatz has weighed in, by the way, one of the bankroll boys. Cam Newton is still -350 to take the first snap week one. Mac Jones +250.
Don't care. 617-779-0985. Dylan's in Providence. Go ahead, Dylan.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good.
Good. Ted, big fan. Thanks for taking the call. Last night when I'm watching, let's take a small sidestep to just a small alternate universe here. If Mac Jones completed that throw to Williamson, right, in the corner of the end zone last night, it'd be over. We'd all be talking automatically that I literally think it was that close, because literally that's the only throw that needed to prove if it had fallen into the hands of that receiver. Cam Newton didn't do anything different than last year. It looked like the same type of runs, the same type of, we're scared to call certain plays. Let's just go on the eye.
Dylan, put another way. Cam Newton has Christian Wilkerson to thank for his potential job security right now. Because if not, I agree. The night looks so different if Wilkerson reels that in. And it wasn't a perfect throw from Mac Jones. He had to slow up a little bit, but that was a great throw. That was a great throw on the hands. Like, Wilkerson's got to reel that in. I don't think a D-back got his hand on it.
He did not.
Like, that should have been a catch. So, Cam Newton may have Christian Wilkerson to thank for whatever job security he has.
Think about that. One play, and it's a totally different narrative.
Yes.
So, okay.
I don't know if it is for Bill, but it's from the fans and media, it's a different narrative, yes.
Okay, so having said that, it's, to me, you're gonna judge Mac Jones' performance. If Wilkerson would have caught that ball, you'd be talking about Mac Jones so differently than you are now, because he didn't catch that ball.
But people already want him as the starter. You hear the pop he got last night?
Dude.
People already want him as the starter. I'm just saying, like, I think some of the difference with me and a lot of people talking about Mac Jones is I want Mac Jones to start. I'm not sold he's anything special. I'm still not sold he's anything special. I'm just sold he's better than the alternative. By the way, you must have been here when Jim Nagy, he was here, right? He runs the Senior Bowl now. He was a scout with the Patriots.
The name sounds familiar.
Okay.
I did not come really have a lot of face time with the scouts.
He has a name as the future of the New England Patriots. Is it Mac Jones? We'll find out who that is coming up next.
Wired.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
You want to talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
I'm just going to say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Reveal.
Zorak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stevenson with a great run to the outside. Still on the go. Andre Stevenson trying to go wire and wire. Second touchdown for the rookie.
There's your perfect example. Go make a play. Get noticed.
That was rumbling Ramondre Stevenson last night. Fourth round pick, I think, of the New England Patriots.
He was.
Second touchdown of the night. That was a 91-yarder where he got around the right end of the defense. And Washington, at that point, I didn't even realize this. I'll be honest. The second Hoyer hit the field, I'm like,
I'm with you. See you later.
I caught the highlights this morning. I'll catch up on DVR. I'll watch the highlights. I got Big Brother on DVR to watch. Like, I got stuff to do here, Bill. So Hoyer hit the field, I'm like, I'm out. I didn't realize until later last night that Washington scored and went for two. That thing could have gone to overtime last night. I didn't realize that.
So no overtime in preseason anymore.
Oh, they don't do that anymore?
Nope.
Whatever. Well, say, then it would have been a tie. Excuse me. So I didn't even know that. But he rumbles around the right side. Now it's 22-13. And then I didn't realize until this morning the tweet from Jim Nagy, who now runs the Senior Bowl. He was a scout here briefly. I thought he overlapped with you. I may be wrong about that. And even, like you said, you don't have a lot of interaction with the scouts. But he said this, and I said, here we go. Like, come on. He tweeted, Ramondre Stevenson is the future of the Patriots.
What does that mean?
So he went back and clarified in a follow-up tweet, because I saw it this morning. He said, I posted this before the 91-yard touchdown run. People need to stop with the LeGarrette Blount comps, two totally different players. Stevenson has sweet feet and juice.
Yep.
Blount was all brute power. So, I mean, whatever. I mean, it feels like Stevenson has more speed than LeGarrette Blount, although a young LeGarrette Blount, you know, at Oregon and when he first got into the league with Tampa.
For his size, he had sweet feet.
Fair. But, you know, the future of the Patriots now?
I know. It's a little bit too much.
Nagy loved Jacoby Myers, and he looks like he's been right about Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers is at the Senior Bowl. He runs the Senior Bowl. It's his job, I guess, to pump these guys up, right, while they're prospects and then when they're in the NFL. But he's the future of the Patriots now? So he's gonna overtake. Yeah. Forget about my guy Sony. Mm-hmm. Now move aside Damian Harris. Forget about Mac Jones.
Yep.
The future of the Patriots is Ramondre Stevenson.
Have you heard any of the comments that Ivan Fears, the running back coach, had about Ramondre last week?
Yeah, something to the effect of, I think I heard these guys talking about it actually. Yeah, something to the effect of, yeah, I'm happy he's here, but he's got a lot to learn or something like
that.
You know
what that tells me?
What?
Ivan loves him.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. When you are kind of blatantly dismissive or blatantly almost as if, yeah, you know what? What's Ramondre Stevenson doing good, Ivan? Just showing up. That, to me, there's a certain way. It's like he knows that this is a good player, and he just doesn't. For a rookie, they're not going to get it. Bill does not want a position coach saying anything nice about rookies ever, right? J.J. Taylor is getting all this praise from Ivan Fears now going into his second year.
Yeah, he was mini Deion Lewis or whatever, right?
That's right.
Who coincidentally retired today. You were telling me the Schefter tweet. Deion Lewis, I guess, retired after a 10-year career.
Years, yeah. But I will say, the practice I saw on Monday, the side shuffle move, did you see the little where he kind of just plants his foot and then side shuffles and then hits the hole?
Did I see it at practice?
You didn't, but you saw it in the game, though.
Oh, I saw it in the game, yeah. So I was going to say, I
saw that in a practice. I went, interesting. And he did it in the game. And I'll tell you this, a 91-yard touchdown run that's a toss sweep from your own whatever 10, 15-yard line after you've already been in for a while on a very, very hot night, I'm going to give that to me was an impressive run because he did what? He did something that a lot of running backs can do in this league. Marshall Faulk was able to do it, but you don't see a lot of running backs, quote-unquote, turn the corner. You have a toss sweep, and so the defense is now all pursuing there. You have angles on them. The whole defense has an angle, and you outrun the pursuing defense for 90 yards. It's an impressive run. I don't care if it gets the backup. So is he the future? Let's slow down a little bit. But is he going to play? Could he play now and probably have an impact this year? You're damn right he could.
Okay, so look, I was reading Curran. Tom Curran had his 22 things to look for yesterday, which pales in comparison to the 87 Jeff Howe had his peepers peeled for. Hardy and I thoroughly broke it down yesterday.
Great show yesterday, you guys.
Thank you.
It was awesome.
Thank you. It's my mistake that we've gone this long without me asking what's making your corneas hornier there, Ted, behind those glasses of yours. But
Jones, I was in the stands last night. That's all I could think about.
What?
Yesterday's show.
Oh, I think
everyone agrees. I think this whole town was buzzing yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, way to go, Adam.
About what was popular in their ocular. But so I thought it was interesting that Stevenson didn't get in until as late as he did, you know, because that was garbage time. I mean, that was Ralph Webb time. Charlie just tweeted at me, who is better, Ramondre Stevenson or Jonas Gray? Like, you know, let's not overreact to what's going on.
Totally get it.
But the more I thought about it, Ramondre Stevenson, when he got into the game, that wasn't the telling thing. It was how long Sony was in the game. Sony was in the game, and Curran said Sony's going to be on the team, just to close the loop on my point about what I was reading from Tom Curran. He said Sony's going to be on the team. They like him. He's going to have a role. 1B to Damian Harris is 1A. I read that before the game. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe. Then Sony Michel was playing late into the third quarter, and I'm like, I don't know if he's going to be on the team. So
I would be surprised if he is on the team.
If he's off it, then that's where Ramondre Stevenson's role would come from, I'd imagine.
Yep. And, I need to know. I don't know. You're the college guy. Did he have a lot of catches out of the backfield at Oklahoma? I don't know. Let's face it.
I think it was something like 20 in his career, if I remember correctly. So, I mean, I wouldn't say he was overly involved.
That's
but
probably more than what Sony Michel has in his entire NFL career.
The thing is, Sony caught it at Georgia. But, yeah.
I think Sony Michel's days are certainly numbered here. And they have probably the best running back depth that I've ever seen, really, in this team. And they've always had running back depth in a long time. So they have a lot of quality running backs to go with that offensive line. What's going to be interesting is where do they cut? Do they cut wide receivers? Do they go with only, you know, five wide receivers?
Yes.
That's probably, and they're going to keep more running backs.
Probably means Nikhil's out too. Probably means he's out. He popped though last night, didn't he?
Boy, he was all over the field.
Oh man, Nikhil Harry. Yeah. When the beat writers have to resort to talking up his blocking, yeesh.
Hey, another note here on Ramondre Stevenson.
Yep.
So Ivan Fierce compared him to LeGarrette Blount back in early June at minicamp.
So that's where it totally nags
Nagy's assessment.
Yeah.
The running backs coach thinks he's like LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah, LeGarrette Blount. Sorry, Ivan. LeGarrette Blount could not take a toss sweep. I don't care if it's in a preseason game at the end where the scrubs are in there and run 91 yards.
No. You want LeGarrette Blount at the one.
Right.
Which is, you know, it's pretty much what he did in falling in. By the way, Stevenson had 28 catches in 2 years in Oklahoma after playing JUCO. 617-779-0985. Let's go back to the phones here. How about our buddy JP in North Providence? What's up, JP?
Hey, I wonder if Sony and Nikhil have DM Van Line's number. They could get it from Felder. I watched that run at the end, and I said, you know, end of the game, but excitement and finishes the play. And we know Bill likes guys that play 60 minutes, so that's what I saw. Hey, Jones, quick funny question, as I always do. If you're souping a salad and a breadstick Olive Garden, is Ted the old 96er from the great outdoors?
Oh, I mean, yeah. So if you called Mac Jones again, what now?
A soup sandwich.
A soup sandwich body. And
Did you get the visual?
You were too nice to really fully break down my physique. So I called myself a breadstick because I like my carbs. You are so right. So what would you be there, Ted? A 96 ounce steak.
Well, yeah. I'll take that.
Well, that thing you got to eat. That you got to eat it. I mean, it's a dated reference, The Great Outdoors. But well, you know, you got to eat the whole thing, gristle and all. You got to eat it all.
I'll take that. Yeah. I say, you know, my parents owned a barbecue restaurant in Houston for 35 years. Oh. Meat stuffed potato, like just a. I'd say maybe a meat stuffed potato. Well, that's maybe more of a nose tackle.
A meat stuffed potato.
You have to go to the restaurant to know. You don't know what that is.
I know, so, like a twice baked potato. You maybe throw some bacon bits on there.
Yeah, you just but it's our chopped beef in a baked potato. It's my favorite meal. It's a good question. I don't know. Chicken fried steak.
I'm sorry. It's your favorite what?
It's my favorite meal at my parents' old restaurant.
Mill? What is it? Meal? What does that seat do to people? Mill?
Meal. It's my favorite item at the restaurant was a meat stuffed potato.
While we're on this, what swims in the ocean and has a blowhole?
What swims in the ocean has a blowhole?
Yeah.
A whale?
A whale. Good. Okay. Good.
You're testing me on my pronunciation?
Yes. Okay. I'm just making, well, I didn't know if Zoe somehow, embodied that seat. I don't know what's going on. You're like channeling your inner Zoe with your mill.
To enunciate every word. I'm a mumbler. Well, so that's
not,
what I do.
It's not your enunciation. Okay. It's just Zoe has a very specific affectation in the way that he speaks. Right. And it felt like it was
to that certain part of the country in Pennsylvania, wherever he's from, Lancaster Correct. County or whatever it is.
Correct. Yeah. And so I felt like I heard that there for a moment. I just wanted to just check. But okay, good. Whale.
Good. Yes.
Good.
I heard you earlier in your press conference that you had with the press.
My favorite.
Not very insightful, I thought. There were a lot of press conference questions for Bill Belichick last night. I think he faced a whopping four questions, if I saw that
he
right.
He was, you know, a lot of heat, a lot of people going at him hard in that post-game presser yesterday.
I believe I counted one question about Mac Jones. I did not count any questions about the quarterback competition, although Bill answered more questions here today. Brendan Glashine, with all the latest going on with the Patriots in Hub headlines, and I don't want to totally ignore the Red Sox. We'll continue with all your Patriots phone calls. Go nowhere. I don't want to totally ignore the Red Sox because I was told they were breaking out. They scored 20 runs. This is a resilient team. I think you said that yesterday, Brett. Resilient team. Well, boy.
I did not say recently.
Boy, am I embarrassed. Boy, am I red-faced because the resiliency the Red Sox showed yesterday, wow, that's a team you want to get behind. We'll get to that with all your Patriots phone calls right after the update.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Zolak and Bertrand. Sports talk in the middle of the day.
You know what's hilarious about it, Scott? I could act like I know what I'm talking about.
That's what we do every day.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Great gesture by the ball club. And the 0-2 pitch. And that's going to be in there for strike three. That is the ball game. Tampa Bay comes to Boston. And despite the blowout last night, they walk out smiling because they take the series 2-1.
Aww. Poor little Red Sox. I thought they bounced back. I thought everything was all fixed. They scored 20 runs. The floodgates are open. This is the day we needed. The bats are waking up. What a resilient team. And then they go out and they lay that turd yesterday with a pitcher that they like on the mound against a stupid opener from Tampa Bay. Well, I already forgot who his name was. I don't care who his name was. Tanner Houck on the mound for the Red Sox gives up the bomb to Wander Franco, and from there the game's over. Nice showing from Hansel Robles, by the way. Great pickup by Chaim Bloom at the deadline. This is a dead-ass team walking. They are now, Ted, as close to their we're showing this on the screen right now. They're five games back in the division, in the AL East behind Tampa. They are as close to the first wild card spot, Oakland, who won again last night. And they might have won in they
won 17.
I was gonna say, oh boy, oh, Oakland scored 17 runs. Look out for Oakland.
Yep.
They're two games up for the first wild card spot. The Yankees are two games back. The Yankees did lose in crushing fashion in Iowa last night. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. They're as close to being out of the playoffs as they are to the first wild card spot. So I have no sympathy for this Red Sox team. I've been openly rooting against this Red Sox team for a couple of years now. I can't stand the ownership group. I hate the way they handled this deadline. They deserve everything that's coming their way. But for everyone, including you, Glasheen, 20 runs, resilient team. Look at this team. Oh, they're turning it all around.
Just trying to look at the complete product this year, Jones. They've had 33, 34 comeback wins?
That's your first mistake.
That is amazing how many people are doing that, though.
That's your mistake. That wasn't real. That was fake. That wasn't dealing with any adversity. Everything was going right for them. They didn't have to deal with anything.
For three months, that was adversity.
No, it wasn't. I would wager three quarters of those games. I didn't do my homework on this, but I would wager three quarters of those games.
Were 1-0 games.
Well, no, they were just, they were early in the game. They were down in like the fifth inning. That's what I would wager. How many of those were true late-inning comebacks? There were a bunch sandwiched at the beginning of the month or late last month, whenever it was. I guess late last month.
Yeah, but they happened.
I know, but they're not. There haven't been 35 games where they came back in the ninth inning, is my point. Okay, they were down 4-3 in the fifth, and that's not really adversity. That's just a baseball game.
I feel like I have a number in my head when it comes to comebacks that they've had when they were down in the fifth inning. It was like 12. So it's, you know, after they've been, if they were down after five innings, they only had 12 comebacks after that. So it's like you're saying, to your point, it's a little bit skewed when you talk about
Jones,
it.
Jones, I was with McCarthy the other night, and when they scored the 20 runs, I was with McCarthy like, I'm not buying in. I'm just trying to give them a little bit of credit for how they looked in the first half.
Too much credit. Too much credit. I give them no credit. It was all fake. It wasn't real.
I don't disagree with you. They're not very talented. I hated the deadline.
20
it's
runs.
Annoying.
Hey, Red Sox, how about this? Maybe save a few next time. Maybe save a few for the game yesterday where you scored one. Or, I don't know, save a few for the week before where you're getting shut out and barely scored. Like, maybe hold the floodgates back a little bit. You didn't need the 20. And it's hilarious how people try to say, look at the bats. They're waking up. Look at this team. Oh, finally, it was just a blip on the radar. No, it wasn't a blip on the radar. This is what they are. They're just not that good. Maybe they still sneak into the playoffs and they lose in the wild card game. Or, hell, maybe they win the wild card game and then lose in three in the DS. This is a team that isn't going anywhere. They're not that good. They've never been that good. They're not that talented. And especially after the deadline, where they did nothing, meaning ownership that wouldn't go into luxury tax, meaning Chaim Bloom, who couldn't part with his precious prospects, and the baby players who continue to whine about the team doing nothing.
That I agree with, too.
This they're getting 100% what they deserve, and it's so effing awesome.
Could you understand the players' perspective at all, though? Because, look, no one's really maybe come out and just flat said that they were disappointed, but it's we're all been led to believe. You could see the actions. You could some of the comments from the team that they're disappointed that they didn't maybe do more. Can you understand that maybe that dynamic, it was going to happen. If you have a team that's overachieving, they don't do more at the trade deadline, that there's going to be a natural kind of...
Yes.
But then you're saying is, okay, go ahead, feel sorry for yourself for a little bit, but get your asses back going.
It can't snowball.
Right. They've let it... They've basically used it as a crutch.
Yeah, I mean, they're soft. They're not resilient. Right there. Like, I totally understand that. Ownership and Chaim Bloom, they should have known how soft these baby players are. But they didn't, or maybe they did and they just didn't care. They're like, whatever, we got whatever the lead was at the trade deadline.
I feel like every baseball team is like this.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, maybe.
You almost got to expect any team that's overachieving and you don't do more, that this is probably that every team, I think, is going to react the way this team reacts. You got to anticipate this.
Baseball players are a little soft. I agree. Baseball players are soft.
I would say so.
Jones, they're softer here.
You know how you...
This group of 25 is softer than most baseball players.
So you say you don't care about the guy's name, Drew Rasmussen. You want to hear a fun fact that will cater your argument?
I would love it, yes.
He pitched a season-high 4 innings yesterday. He was supposed to only throw like an inning or two. Their opener. This was a favorable pitching matchup after the 20-run night. Oh, it's a favorable matchup coming in the next night. He went 4 innings, a season-high.
The Red Sox have a guy in Tanner Houck, who I'm not lying, Ted. I took, when I say multiple, more than 5, probably less than 10, but more than 5 phone calls around the deadline that said, you cannot trade Tanner Houck for Max Scherzer. which I think is insane, but whatever. We don't need to go back down that road. Red Sox fans love Houck. The Red Sox love Houck. He's in the rotation now, even though he got sent back down. He's going to be back up for the doubleheader against New York on Tuesday, I think it is.
Very much a green team kind of attitude.
Can't trade him for Max Scherzer. I took more than 5 phone calls on that, probably less than 10. I don't want to overstate it. You had your guy on the mound, one of them. They had their opener, who's never thrown that many innings. You scored 20 the night before. The floodgates were totally opening, or supposedly opening. You could still win the series, and they lay that turd. nice baseball team you got, Boston. 617-779-0985. I told you we'd get back to your Patriots phone calls here, because, quite frankly, the Red Sox don't deserve much more than that. Brendan is in Easton. Go ahead.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
So, just to preface, I'm actually a Giants fan, so I'm not a Patriots fan, but I live around every Patriot fan known to existence. And for me this season, I've noticed a general trend of more and more fans being on Team Mac and wanting him to start like you guys, but there's still this sect of fans who are diehard of Cam. I can't fathom it. Why do you want him? We know his ceiling. He's not good. Mac Jones is the potential future of the team. You invested a first-round pick into him. What more do you need to see? Every day in training camp, I'm seeing Mac outperforms him. And last night, Mac looked pretty good. Cam was only in for 2 series. I just don't understand where these fans are coming from saying, Cam, he's still good. The 2015
I'll be honest, I don't think you're talking to a majority of fans, because there are some, but I don't think you're talking to a majority of fans.
Do you agree with him that there is let's just say there's a minority. There's a small amount of fans.
There's a faction of fans that
are very passionate about Cam.
Sure.
And that's,
look, I like him.
Are you surprised by that?
Yes. I like Cam last year. I feel like I have to repeat myself on this all the time.
You liked him before he got here.
Yes. Then I watched him, and I'm like, oh, wow, he's done. I loved Cam in Carolina. I wanted them to sign him last year. I was excited when they signed him last year. I was thumping my chest. I wasn't saying sign him to an extension, but I was thumping my chest after that Seattle game. I'm like, look at this.
As you should have.
Yeah, and then from there it was all downhill. So I'm like, oh, wow, he's done. He just can't play anymore. I'm not saying Cam was never good. Cam was awesome. He probably wasn't an elite quarterback, but he was great. He's not anymore. So I was excited when they signed him, and then I said, wow, he's done. And I'll be campaigning for Mac Jones. I've been campaigning for Mac Jones. If he stinks too, I'll say that. I just think he can't possibly be worse than Cam. So I think there's a faction of the fans, I think it's very small, though, that are stumping for Cam Newton. I think the real gripe would be with Bill there. And I will say this. I think Cam only playing 2 series was a better sign for Cam than I'd like to admit. While Mac played 5 and almost into the fourth quarter, that is a better sign for Cam than I'd like to admit.
Does your opinion change, though, because of how he sounded in the presser? Did you hear him last night? He's like, oh, it's their call. Coaches tell you when you're
I read
in.
The full transcript. The only answer I heard was him screwing up the name. So I'd be lying if I said I heard the same thing. But you're telling me he was down last night?
He was asked about, did you expect to play a little bit longer? And he said, well, look, the coaches make the call. And
I wish somebody would ask him, how did you feel when Mac Jones was like just slicing up the defense in that hurry up? Because I'm telling you, that was where I was like, wow, they're going to put Mac Jones in a hurry-up situation to start the third quarter? My feeling is Cam's looking at that going, wow, they wouldn't do that with me.
I can't do that.
I can't do that right now. I mean, I can't imagine Cam being presented with the same opportunity and having the success he had moving the ball. Now, he ultimately didn't get him in the end zone, but that was an impressive, let's face it, that was an impressive, out of 9 pass attempts, he completed 8. And he looked like he knew what the hell he was doing, getting guys lined up in the right place.
I'll be honest, I didn't mind the shorter throws as much on that drive. Because, you know, that's what you got to do. Quick, take what the defense gives you. They march downfield. They stalled out in the red zone or just outside, wherever the drive stalled out. I didn't mind it as much there.
This is the line. This is the line from Newton. That's not up to me to make the call. I've got full faith in this coaching staff. They get paid to do that. If they say that's it, that's it.
Okay.
Boy, says everything the right way, doesn't he? And you know what? He'd be smart too. He's realizing that if he wants the starting position, that's the game you got to play.
Yeah. Look, I don't have any problem with Cam personally. I mean, the nicknames get a little annoying. I don't have any problem with Cam personally. I don't think he can play anymore. Like, you know, that happens, Ted. So, athletes hit a point where they can't do what they used to be able to do. And Cam can't do it. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with all your feedback on the quarterbacks, especially at the top of the hour. I want to dive back in with all our thoughts. We do have to get to the Field of Dreams game. Yesterday in Iowa, Yankees lost. But Ted, you apparently watched some of that.
I watched a lot more than I thought I would.
Okay, well let's get Ted's thoughts on what went down last night in Iowa. Coming up next.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Zoe and Beetle, working to keep you up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
you
know
smelled
it. You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Anderson hits it in the air, right back at the wall, and the White Sox win it.
Ah, yes, the Field of Dreams last night, Ted. Yankees lose, by the way, so I'm sure Red Sox fans like that. Yankees don't gain any ground on the Red Sox. Blown save for New York last night. Tim Anderson with the walk-off corn job, as I like to say there.
Yeah, Jones, we still have the wild card.
Yeah, well, they do. The Red Sox do still have the wild card. That's the voice of Brendan Glasheen, Adam Jones, Ted Johnson, in for Zoe and Beetle here. You were watching some of the Field of Dreams game last night.
Yeah, because the Field of Dreams game came on before the Patriots game started. And so I was like, I got to watch this. I forgot that it was on. I'm a big fan of the movie. And I wanted to see how was Fox going to, you know, kind of present. And yeah, the opening, if you were watching the opening.
I wasn't, so tell me.
It was, you almost couldn't believe it, because so they had, nobody knew this was going to happen, I don't think, and I don't think anybody predicted this, but clearly the star of the movie Field of Dreams was Kevin Costner.
Yes, who, by the way, Mike Lockhart said this on the air. Mike Lockhart sent a picture yesterday where he's like, Zoe looks like Kevin Costner. Like the pictures of Kevin Costner, maybe, is that too complimentary to Zoe? Was that what that reaction was?
He's aged a lot.
Yep. Okay.
Zoe's still young and spry.
It's a knock on Zoe. So I thought the picture was, I thought Mike was right. I thought it kind of looked Zoe-esque, but I saw him kind of floating around out there. Maybe that was the day before the game.
Okay.
But he was on the field doing his thing.
So it starts off with the camera shot going into the corn, and the music starts. The music, there's this long music bed, probably it was,
yes,
similar kind of music that was in the movie.
Yep.
Now picture Kevin Costner.
Now picture corn and people walking, and you pretty much get it.
And then Zoe.
But Kevin Costner walks out of the corn, and then you're like, okay, where's he's going to walk out of the corn? And then what's he going to? He kept walking, and he kind of zigzagged, and he walked real slow, and he walked a little bit to right field and then back to center field, and he's making his way closer to second base, and then he kind of jags over to closer to, and he's just staring out into the sky, and he's staring into the corn, and he's staring out in the stands, and you're like, how long is this going to go on? Like, is somebody going to say anything? And they kept going. And I think I heard Rich say it was 3.5 minutes of Kevin Costner.
Three and a half minutes?
Yes. Yeah. Which we all know in TV is like an eternity. And I'm like, I'm watching this game with my girlfriend. I'm like, I'm going to crush these guys. Look, I can eat that stuff up, and I'm a big fan of the movie.
Corn.
And it's very corny. I'm a fan of corny movies. But it was so over the top.
Yep.
Sappy and playing to the heartstrings and romanticizing. It was just a little bit too much. And let's face it, it went on for the whole game. They had Kevin Costner in the booth with Joe Buck and Smoltz for what felt like 3 innings.
Oh, God. Are you serious?
Telling stories, and I was flipping back and forth because I couldn't get enough.
Yeah.
Because it was just stripping and sappy. And
what do you think it is about that movie? I mean, I can point to that last scene with you and your father playing catch, but there's more to it than that. Kind of the timeless essence of this game, I think, is prominent.
They played with the joy of things. I mean, the 60s, the little fun with that, and it was a light, fair movie in a sense. But I think what happens is, and we all enjoyed hearing Duke Snyder's name
and
Gil Hodges, and liked that. But somewhere halfway
every
through
time
the movie,
I hear Gil Hodges,
we started to understand that it was maybe about things that go unsaid between fathers and sons. And so while it was this had this athletic bent, it's like, my God, is that maybe about something about my life? And when men get to the end and just weep, a lot of it's a non-athletic. There's a loss.
Very non-athletic.
Here's a broken bat. Two Hopper to Anderson, one away.
There's that idea that you want to be right so much you're wrong, and there's this time.
Shut up, Kevin. They're playing you off. And, the inning's over.
I saw people.
We got corn to sell.
I think, but that Heave thing where they couldn't get enough air and wouldn't even come back out to the party.
Dude.
He just kept going? Were they trying to go to break? They were trying to go to break, right? I wasn't watching.
Okay, you know what I realized watching Kevin Costner do what he did yesterday? You know what makes great actors, I've learned? They are 100% committed. They believe every...
Ted, it's a cosmic gumbo is what it is. I don't know. It's a cosmic gumbo.
Is that what Kevin Costner is talking about this movie as if it's like the most, important thing that he's ever done in his life.
Mm-hmm.
It was a movie, Kevin. It was a movie.
Yeah.
But to him, it's like, it's art. And it's transcendent.
No, he's Crashmore. He's Santa Claus.
it was over the top, man.
So look, I want to get to my thoughts on
this.
He's
just walking. You can't see him. He's just walking. And they do the drone shot overhead, and people are and he's just staring.
He's like looking
over
around.
Here come the players.
Here comes the big goof, Aaron Judge, out of the corn. There's the flag.
I will say this,
America.
I'm a big fan of visuals in any kind of entertainment movie. Yep. The visual is pretty awesome. Okay? You can say it's corny, but there's a baseball field in the middle of Iowa. I don't know. It visually looks...
I bet there's a lot of baseball fields in the middle of Iowa.
I have family in Iowa, Des Moines. I'm a big fan of Iowa. I lived there for a few years in Iowa City, so I have an affinity for Iowa.
I'll tell you what.
Iowa State Fair...
Hawkeyes, so they would have fit in on yesterday's show.
I heard Fred Toucher earlier this morning make a Chuck Long reference, which I don't know if you probably don't even know who Chuck Long was. No. He was quarterback of the Iowa Hawkeyes in '85. They had Quinn Early and Ronnie Harmon. They had a great team. They lost to Michigan.
Gil Hodges and Duke Snyder, right?
And those guys came before those guys. But yes, along those same lines.
I do have one gripe about Field of Dreams. And I know everybody's been doing this today. I do have one gripe about the Field of Dreams game. We can get to that after the headlines here from Brendan Glasheen. And I do want to get back to our thoughts on the quarterbacks as well. We'll do that right after the headlines.
There's always a reason for better health. And here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.